The Official Podcast is possibly the greatest podcast of all times, asking the hard-hitting questions like how and do you like master...
Dating back to December 13th in the year 2016, Andrew Jackson, Charlie and Kite got together and made something right. Jackson loves his dinosaurs, Kyle's got his hot peppers, Charlie's got his boardwalk burgers, and Andrew left Jake on delivered.
What the hell, Andrew? I mean, I'm the only one here who's seen all of the podcast episodes. It took me like 3 months, and I'm a huge fan. I mean, I don't play Magic the Gathering and have the testosterone like you, but still.
It's the official podcast. Yeah, that's right. It's as official as it gets and turns the spotlight to PewDieDubski and H3. Once you start watching, you don't want to leave.
Come a long way from biblical questions to meeting with our Lord and Savior Gibby. 70 episodes is a lot of sessions, teaching us all such valuable lessons. Hey Jackson, we love your work. Pranking Charlie, that's Kai's quirk. Charlie's got the fan support. Andrew takes the hate like a sport.
It's the official podcast. Yeah, that's right. It's as official as it gets and turns the spotlight. PewDieDubski and H3. Once you start watching, you don't want to leave. It's the official podcast. Yeah, that's right. It's as official as it gets and turns the spotlight. PewDieDubski and H3. Once you start watching, you don't want to leave.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another installment of the Internet's only official podcast. It's the same four goobers joined today by the musical connoisseur, the Melon Man himself, Anthony Fantano. Take the stage, man.
Thanks, guys. I'm really excited. This is my first Minecraft podcast. It's I'm a little nervous about it.
Oh, he's done his homework. I like it.
Yeah, but I think it's going to go okay.
That's what I like to hear. We're very inclusive. We don't only talk about Minecraft, but since you brought it up, we might as well start. What's your favorite song from the Minecraft soundtrack?
Oh, the one with the piano at the start, and it's really nice and ambient. And you know, honestly, I like Roblox better.
That's a hot take. Ooh. Roblox. Jesus. Do you want to jump on that? Do you actually play Roblox? A lot of great content on the Roblox servers I've been savvy to. I believe Charlie as well.
Yeah, not as much as I play Super Smash Brothers. I'm kind of waiting for the new one to come out in the fall. Hopefully that drops.
Are you excited for Robbie the Roblox to be in Switch Smash Brothers?
I'm hoping Shrek's in it, honestly.
Aren't we all? Fucking fingers crossed, man. Every time I blow out my birthday candles, it's always, I wish Shrek was in the new Smash.
What a coincidence. Mine's always, I wish Shrek wasn't in the new Smash.
I feel like he'd be too OP.
You know, ever since somebody found out how to essentially hack elements of the game and kind of change the skins, there have been some Shrek skins going around. People have just sort of reskinned Ganondorf as Shrek. So it's just basically all the same Ganondorf moves and everything, but it's just Shrek, doing them.
Have you played with any of those skins?
Me personally, no. I haven't hacked my Wii U. I'm not a super elite 4chan hacker. I'm just a lowly music nerd.
Because I have a friend who hacked his Wii U on Smash 4 and put skins on there, and there were some amusing ones. But my absolute favorite was it was Little Mac reskinned as Ned Flanders. So you would just have big Bulby Ned Flanders running around the stage punching the fuck out of everybody. It's fantastic.
Oh my god. He would do that sometimes in the show, right? Rip off his shirt.
He
was super muscular.
Pack,
I remember the episode where he ran around Springfield and just beat the fuck out of Bart.
And I remember the episode where I think Homer saw him in the shower and he had a huge dong.
Probably.
Is that real?
Yeah, Ned Flanders was made to be like the apotheosis of masculinity, but kind of like in like a very unimposing package.
A humble way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I remember stupid, sexy Flanders.
Yeah, I know that. I didn't know that he had a massive fucking cock, though. That's impressive.
Well, yeah, I'm sure if you Google giant Flanders cock, it'll come right up. Yeah,
plenty of images. Cool. You can also see how he utilizes it on Marge.
Lisa too, probably.
Yeah. No stopping.
Howdy doodle, you're looking at my doodle.
That brings me to my first actual question for you, Anthony.
Yeah.
So it's no secret that Post Malone has dropped a new album. And yeah. I've noticed you haven't been extremely vocal on your thoughts. So can we have some groundbreaking hot takes on what your first impressions are?
I have my review dropping pretty much right after I record this podcast with you guys. So it's already recorded. I'm actually not as averse to this new record as I was Stony at all. However, I was kind of anticipating that, considering that, it wouldn't be the first time a record came out and the lead singles were good and the rest of the album was trash. But when I first heard Rockstar, it sounded like something different had happened. It sounded like he was starting to take like a new approach, and the instrumental was better. The singing was better. The vocal mixing was better. It didn't sound quite as thrown together. Honestly, I have kind of a hunch, and this is, you know, nothing new in the industry, that his label just kind of didn't know exactly what to make of his hype and thought he might be kind of a one hit wonder and just threw the shit out there just to kind of continue to capitalize off of that. But then the record continued to gain momentum. And then I think he started to gain like just huge attention off the record in 2017, because they put it out in December of 2016, which, like, if you're a label, that is not where you prioritize a new artist. That is not where you try to get people to listen to new talent. You know, you drop the record in December. It's because by that time, by the holidays and everything, people aren't buying records. They're more into, you know, Christmas mode and everything. Like, the biggest, most popular records typically drop summer to fall. You know, early on in the year, like January, February, it's kind of dead. The industry kind of lies dormant for a little bit. But then when festival season starts to roll around in the spring, then like some of the biggest records of the year start to kind of roll out. And again, like in December, that's not really where you drop a big high priority record. It really kind of shows that they put like a huge budget into the record this time around. And it also shows that he paid a lot more attention to song structure and just the melodies on here. Like, there's so many goddamn catchy melodies all over the record.
Yeah. Absolutely.
You know, the lyrics obviously aren't as substantive as I guess they could be, but it's just catchy as fuck from front to back.
Mm-hmm. I agree, man. Like,
yeah, completely.
I think Jackson and I are in the same boat. Neither one of us really listened too much to like the bigger artists that release stuff, but both of us really appreciated his new album a lot. I thought it was just, especially the amount on there.
It was fun.
Yeah, and the amount of songs on there, I was surprised there were so few like stinky diapers. Like, they were all like good. Like, even the ones that weren't great were still good.
Yeah, there were a couple stinky diapers on there. I think
his words, not mine. Post.
Yeah, that's a professional review right there.
Well, this I think the second track on there probably had to be one of the worst. The Sway Lee track. The vocal melody on that track and the Jumanji verse with the two rock references and then the beautiful boobies line.
I love that line. Beautiful boobies, baby. So happy.
That's one of the worst parts of the record. It's so stupid. But I mean, there was that track, and then I think the drinking track a couple tracks down, like on track five, I didn't care for that one too much. But, you know, outside of that, like, the worst it gets is that there are some songs on the back end that just feel like a little redundant, you know, like, okay, you've kind of already taken us here, you know. But for the most part, the track list is just like hit after hit after hit after hit.
What would you say your favorite track was on the album?
You know, I don't know what my favorite track is yet, but I think the song Better Now could be like a sleeper hit on the record. Like, that's such like a, I don't know, such a quintessential kind of breakup song. And it has such like a sticky, bright melody that I feel like that track could kind of be the album's mask off, you know, like a track that before the record wasn't a promotional track, but a song that could end up gaining momentum down the way, because it's just like such a great kind of black and white, super catchy, super easy to kind of project your feelings onto breakup tune.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Relatable song. Those always kind of stick well with audiences. Mm-hmm. Kind of piggybacking off of being relatable, how do you masturbate? Any interesting tales from down under?
I'm pretty just straightforward with the masturbation. Nothing too crazy. You know, just right hand on the foreskin. I'll just pumping away. You know, prefer standing up. Just sitting down seems lazy.
Ooh,
you know,
well, that's an interesting technique.
Well, no, sitting. I'm with him, man. I don't think I've ever jerked off sitting down because of just one bad experience. Really? Yeah, because if you like go too hard, you just smack your nutsack against the chair and it hurts really bad.
How hard are you going? Wait, Jesus,
smack your nuts against the chair. Are you like bouncing in your seat?
Well, no, like with your hand, like you kind of like a hammer. You like hammer your testicle against the chair. Testicles. I have more than one.
I just don't see how. Hard do you get into this, though, that you're really smashing down that with that much force?
Well, I think actually what's going on here is that's the mark of a short distance for your hand to travel.
The internet's busiest music nerd and outing of penis size.
Because you're really trying to get some momentum going, so you have to back up hard on the nuts. Whereas honestly, like my hand's not anywhere, my fist is not anywhere near the nuts. I'm not banging on my nuts.
He's reaching the ceiling.
Well, okay, we can look at it another way. Maybe it's so big that it's like a railgun, you know what I mean? And I need like the landing pad.
The run up.
Yeah, so run up. So you're just doing these giant upward and downward, just getting your shoulder into it, just the whole arm movement.
Yeah.
Whole crank.
Got it.
Exactly.
Got it.
So Anthony, you're a big music guy. What music do you use to set the mood in that scenario? What
I was going to ask, do you masturbate to anything?
Yeah, while you're pumping away.
Musically, no. Oh. I don't put on music to masturbate.
You're telling me you don't have a selection of albums where you're just like, yeah, this will make me jack off.
This is the one.
Good Spotify playlist.
Yeah, well, you know what? I think I think probably the most recently I was turned on by something music related was probably the Janelle Monáe "Make Me Feel" music video. That music video is sexy as fuck.
Oh man, I love Janelle Monáe.
Who is that?
Oh, she's incredible.
she's a really great singer, songwriter, performer. She kind of pulls together elements of pop and funk and R&B and hip hop into a really kind of futuristic kind of blend.
She's a pop artist, but a lot of her themes are about like robotics and androids and
shit.
Yeah,
kind of like John Bellion. Then,
this music video was super sexy and tantalizing.
Not just the song itself. I mean, the song itself is pretty sexy. A lot of the elements of the track, lyrically and rhythmically, kind of come from that Prince song "Kiss." If you guys are familiar with that,
Kiss, you could be my girl,
you know that song. So she took like a lot of elements rhythmically and lyrically from that track and kind of crossed it over onto this equally sexy song with like much more futuristic production. And the music video itself, I mean, god, there's just like a lot of like fine bodied people and nice asses all over the place and people
it's
like
just
doing kind of
twerking for a solid 5 minutes.
Oh, it's like people doing like weird quirky sexual dances and stuff. I don't know, like no twerking or nothing, but you know, some nice fine subtle ass shaking. Just really good color palettes, you know, that gets me hard. A nice color palette, you know, a lot of like dark browns and neon blues and hot pinks and deep purples and that sort of thing. You know, bright yellows, you know, really good hot sexual color palette. a lot of interesting, very skimpy outfits. So, you know, very, very sexy music video, the way everything looks, the way everyone's moving and just the way the song sounds.
Damn, you're really selling this hard.
I'll have to listen to that.
It's a good music video. It's a sexy ass music video. You need to watch it.
I can rally behind this, man. I've been a big fan of Janelle Monáe for a couple years, and I think almost everything she does really is fucking mind blowing the first time you see it.
That's good then.
Yeah.
I've never even heard of her, so I'll definitely have to look that up then. My taste usually more in line with like metal and rock, which doesn't have any sexy music videos. It's typically some ogre-looking men with large beards just kind of playing their instruments.
That's somebody's type.
Well, yeah, no, it's just, you know, I definitely would prefer a nice color palette with asses.
That's Kanye's next album.
Yeah, that'll be the
color
title.
Palette with asses.
Mm. Hey.
I don't think he's the color palette kind of guy, judging from his house, which is all white.
Oh, yeah.
Like an eggshell.
We didn't talk about that.
Yeah, dude, his house is fucking, it looks haunted, man. It's like all styrofoam.
Well, we're judging from his clothing line, which is like a series of beiges, blacks, and earthy tones.
For $80 a t-shirt.
Yeah, it's genius, man. That probably costs like 9 cents in a sweatshop somewhere to make.
Well, apparently he wants to change it now. I don't know if you checked his tweets today, but he said there is no Disney or Apple for clothing, and that's what he wants to be now.
So he just wants to be a really big clothing company? What does that
would the Disney or Apple of clothing be?
Exactly.
Yeah, I guess he doesn't just want to be big. He wants to be the biggest clothing company now. I guess that's his new ambition.
He's saying he wants to be successful. That's not him.
Really? That's not... It doesn't mean much of anything.
Know. Well, you know, part of the reason that we don't have a Disney or an Apple in clothing is because Disney is really shitty when it comes to buying up and just kind of sitting like a perpetual chicken on top of all of this intellectual property, which it charges people out of the ass for, which in the clothing world, you can't trademark something like the t-shirt. You can't patent the t-shirt. So if you have this like giant universally beloved design that everyone copies over and over and over and over, you can't do anything about it. So that's actually kind of one of the beauties of the fashion industry, that you can't sort of force, you know, that type of, I guess, kind of influence into the market by sitting on all these patents, you know, because that's the only reason that something like Apple and something like Disney is in the position that they're in. Apple sits on so many, you know, great technological patents that keeps the company ahead of the curve of its competitors.
Plus, well, the trends in the fashion industry change so like quickly. I don't think a company like Apple and Disney would be able to monopolize on it as quickly as like a small fashion agency or something like that.
Well, he doesn't want them to step in. He wants to be a big clothing company just. But Anthony, as for patenting clothes, that's why, you know, they invented bullies. If you're on the schoolyard and you're wearing a ripoff, you're going to get your ass beat. You're not going to be one of the cool kids.
Oh, yeah. The social construct of not wearing like the original Yeezy. There's a whole website dedicated to people wearing fake Yeezys.
How can they tell?
Like, really?
Yeah, no. It's like a whole subculture of like Yeezy busters.
Kanye will become the Apple of clothing by hiring bullies to run around the internet and run around IRL and just beat people up who wear fake Yeezys.
Yeah. Or for not wearing Yeezys.
He'll hire bully hunters to sell Yeezy headsets.
Mm.
So wait, what is this culture around fake? What are you talking about? Give us a rundown.
In a nutshell, there's like a lot of knockoff Yeezy products, which is not surprising because it's the easiest thing to replicate. And Yeezys are super like expensive, and I guess there's a lot of prestige behind them. So if you wear a fake one, the people who support Kanye or the clothing line go out of their way to shame you publicly. Oh. They post your picture with fake Yeezys and just start insulting you anonymously for it.
Wow, Jesus.
It's quite literally like Yeezy busters.
Oh, man.
Yeezys isn't the first that this has kind of happened to.
It's the biggest
staple, I guess.
Yeah, it's the biggest by far. Like there was a YouTube trend for a little while where the big prank was like considered a real dangerous one, where you give your friend a fake Yeezy and take a picture of him and post it online. It's fucking sad.
You know, there's a short list of groups of people who really kind of go out of their way out of pure virtue. I think of people like the peace officers from the UN who stepped in during the genocide in Rwanda. I think of the people who valiantly pumped gas for others during that DC sniper killing spree, where the guy was shooting, you know, someone was shooting people out of the car, and, you know, these people didn't want people to get shot, so they were pumping gas for other people so they didn't have to get out of their car and get shot. And then there's the Yeezy busters, the people who through no other reason other than just out of the goodness of their heart, harass strangers and try to ruin their lives and ridicule them because they're not wearing authentic Kanye gear.
Wait. Is that what happened to the girl with the kimono? Was that not a Yeezy kimono? Is that what she appropriated?
She appropriated the Yeezy culture.
Yeah. Can't be doing that in this climate.
No, Jeremy Lammel. He'll call the shots on you ASAP, man.
Now, if we do call it on these people, though, and we hurt their feelings, there is a really easy way that we could make them feel better with FTD Flowers, boys. Have you heard about this?
Oh, that's the only way to really apologize. When things get bad, the only way to really say I'm sorry is through some FTD Flowers, excuse me.
That's right. I believe, Charlie, I know because I witnessed it with my own eyes. You got an amazing bouquet from FTD.
Oh, I did, Andrew. That signaled nothing but taller height, a bigger penis, and honestly the best gift to my girlfriend I could have ever given her. I could have won $1 million and it wouldn't have meant as much as that FTD flower bouquet, and I can say that with confidence.
Now, believe it or not, not every human on Earth currently, but at one point, every human on Earth had a mother. So this Mother's Day, see how there's literally an entire fucking day dedicated to it. FTD can help express your feelings for mom through a floral work of art that's delivered straight to her door. Yeah, you could give her a text, you insensitive Claude, but what a great way to show your mom's day and how much she means to your life and how much you care with breathtaking flower arrangements from FTD's expert florist network. They have amazing bouquets and arrangements that will brighten her home and her day. If you had to rate an amazing floral bouquet with an album, Anthony, which album would you compare it to?
It would probably be New Order's Power, Corruption, and Lies, because that album actually features a beautiful bouquet of flowers on the front cover.
Oh, beautiful. I didn't think you'd actually have something prepared.
I was expecting Janelle Monáe, because the asses are nice, like the flowers.
Or something. But, I mean, there's just one more point we got to make. It's very, very important point, and I'm going to let Kaya do it, because he's very good at it. Go ahead, Kaya.
Yeah, see, you can't just pluck some crummy flowers off your garden, okay? You don't want off-brand flowers. You want the FTD experience from FTD.com/Mother's Day, where you now get 25% off all florist-style bouquets for mom for this Mother's Day. Maybe you don't like your mom. Maybe you disagree on some things, but she's still your mother, so show some appreciation. Okay, it's literally just one thing you have to do. Yes, I know it's tedious. I know it's one day a year, and you still think, God, Mother's Day is coming up. Fuck, how did that happen so quick? But now you can just go to ftd.com/Mother's Day, and you can just simply order her flowers to her doorstep with a nice note, I believe. And there you go. Problem solved.
Mother's Day is saved.
Buy your mom some flowers.
From ftd.com/Mother's Day.
Sweet. That's one word. One word for Mother's Day.
So, Anthony, I was going to ask this a bit earlier, and it totally slipped my mind, but I know you don't put on music to jerk off. What about setting the mood when you maybe want to have some coitus with your wife? Is there any particular playlist for an occasion like that?
You know, back in the day, it used to be a lot of beach house. It used to be quite a bit of beach house back when they were when they were more popular. Mm-hmm. But these days, you know, I haven't done it yet, but I've been meaning to. if I put on, and you know, I used to have a stereo in my room back where we used to live, and now we don't have a stereo in our bedroom anymore. So it sort of just makes it kind of like less likely to be the case when it does end up happening. But I really want to have sex to the new Pissed Jeans album, Why Love Now. Which is probably like, if you've heard it, just like a really horrible album to want to have sex to. It just pretty much sounds like, I don't know, like a Jesus Lizard and a Motorhead album combined. But it's just like one of the nastiest, most guttural, most like awful sounding like noise rock records of the past few years. And I don't know. There's just something about it. There's something about the low down, dirty, filthy grooves and the nasty guttural vocals. And hey, I mean, there's some kind of like, there are some songs on there that are love and sex themed. There's one song on there called Love Without Emotion, which I think it's kind of apropos. So
I think I've discovered why your wife has moved the stereo out of your bedroom.
What were they called? The Pissed Jeans?
Pissed Jeans. Yes, just Pissed Jeans.
That's beautiful. Mm-hmm. I was making sure I heard that right.
My wife is into some weirder stuff than I am, as far as music.
Really? What's she into?
Like, not to say that I don't like the band as well. I've reviewed them positively, but back when we met, she was way bigger into this duo named, or rather group named Shushu, who's this very abrasive, like noisy post-punk group. My wife tells this funny story about how back in college she got paired up with these preppy girls in her college dormitory, and they were like kind of doing as some passive-aggressive girls do, kind of like silently bullying her because they kind of didn't get along with her and she wasn't in their friend group, and they were talking shit about her because she liked to listen to that band, and she said, she's always playing that guy who sounds like he's crying. So
What was this band?
Shoo Shoo. XIU. This is not any hatred toward the guy, but the band is fronted by a singer and a songwriter by the name of Jamie Stewart, who, if I could pull off just like a short little impression, he sounds a lot like this.
Yeah, Jamie Stewart, the actor who's always perpetually begging for forgiveness. Yeah. I didn't do it, Spirit. I didn't do it at all. No. That guy. Yeah,
yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm.
I had no idea what it actually is, that guy.
Yeah.
Oh.
From It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah. I know that guy.
Yeah, oh, wait, is that the same guy? This person's name is Jamie Stewart.
Like
Jamie okay. Stewart.
Oh, okay. I was going to say.
I didn't say Jimmy Stewart.
Oh.
Okay.
Come on, you cretins. The fuck?
You uncultured swine.
We're going to be honest. We don't know a super amount about music, so this is all very interesting and impressive.
No, I hear you. You know, my wife is much more of a film buff than I am. She's into a lot of those French New Wave films and Lars von Trier type stuff, and like a lot of weird European film and stuff that I have virtually no background in whatsoever. And sometimes I'm just like, I don't know about this, but she does have really good taste in movies, and she has turned me on to a lot of good stuff. And, you know, I'm more the music nerdy type. I'm much more of a poptimist than she is a lot of the time. You know, I've told her how much I, you know, love like new records from Frank Ocean or Kanye. I was even showing her how much I like the new Post Malone album at some points, and she's just like, I'm not into this at all. Actually, like when people were telling me about the Post Malone shout out, I went to go play her the track, and I was like, honey, you gotta listen to this. And she heard, like, even before the lyric about me rolled up, she heard like the first 10 seconds, and she's like, what the fuck is this guy, Fish? Like, I don't know what that meant. Maybe because it sounds like he's singing in the ocean or something. I have no idea. And I was just like, okay, wait, just listen to it. And the point rolled up where he said my name, and she was just staring at me like, what? But did he say a thing or something? And I'm like, ugh, you can't even tell what the fuck he's saying. And she's like, no, I can't. I have no idea what the fuck he's saying right now.
Jesus. That's not supportive at all.
Really?
That's good for you, honey. It's just, you know, the biggest artist in the world said my name.
Who's the needle drop anyway?
Well, then I told her, who it was and what he said. And she's like, oh, that's him. That's nice. And
be sure to call him and thank you.
She's like your parent just pacifying you as a kid. That's nice, dear. Now run along. Yeah. Go play.
Well, she doesn't even know who you are. Like, oh, you do.
she likes to live our life outside of this, you know, when I'm offline, you know what I mean?
That's because fair.
It's like,
that's
it can just, fair. It can just get like really, annoying to sort of follow all the drama that happens on the internet, especially since last year and all that with the articles and everything and all the accusations against me. So you know, which thankfully right now it's right now it's all fine. It's all cool. What I can say is the claims have been settled. So the claims were settled. The claims have been settled.
Question beyond last. Hang on, we can get to that. But Anthony, more importantly, what is this about you being mistaken for a mass shooter?
Oh, that happened last year as well, I think. No, it didn't happen last year. It happened, I think, in 2016? No, it happened in 2016. And I was in Las Vegas at the time with my wife. And how it went down was the guy just had a bald head and glasses and was wearing a sweater that looked
and was named
a lot
Anthony
like
Fantano. And he reviewed the new Post Malone album and
gave it a not good. He also had a sweater that looked a lot like a sweater that I owned, a red sweater that I've worn in some reviews. And well, what happened was, of course, because I have a large following on 4chan and other places, like there was just like a lot of conversation surrounding him and just saying, dude, this guy looks like the needle drop. This guy looks like Anthony. This guy looks like Anthony.
He finally snapped.
So what had happened is within the course of like maybe a few hours or so after the shooting had happened, all of these comparisons on Twitter, on 4chan, on a myriad of different places online sort of created a number of pages on the internet. So if you search this guy's name, and you went into Google image search, tons of pictures of me were popping up because you would look up this guy's name and his name would be on the page. His name would be on the page, but so would my name and so would my pictures because we would be making these side-by-side comparisons between him and me. And out of all the pictures, of course, the pictures of me were the most crisp and the best lit and the best looking, whereas all of his actual photos, the highest production, were, you know, like none of the people, none of the news organizations took time to think, like, why are all these records hanging out behind him? And and none of them actually, like, went onto the pages to sort of verify if that information was true, because we truly do live in the golden age of journalism. So
just sometimes it bothers me so much that they couldn't even be bothered to reverse image search. Like, maybe, oh, wait, well, hey, like, it turns out this is an avatar for a YouTube channel that's huge. Maybe he's not the shooter.
Oh, I know. Jesus.
So it's a bit like,
again, it's what happens, it's the golden age of journalism.
Sam Hyde, the Sam Hyde meme, where every time there's a shooter, people push his photo onto Twitter.
Well, he and his fans advance that. And his fans push for that. Again, but that's, again, it's sort of like a shortcoming on the part of the news, that the fact that they get duped by it so many times. But
kind of clever, isn't it? It's free publicity for him.
Oh yeah, it's absolutely free publicity, and with the exact crowd of people who you want to be paying attention with to that sort of thing. the type of people who are like, oh yeah, I love serial killers.
I need to support him now.
That created like this plethora of photos of me whenever you look up that guy's name. And then from there, like, some local American news stations picked it up. A large Australian news station picked it up. A Mexican station, a large Mexican, like, nationally broadcast station, a large Italian nationally broadcast station, and a few others as well. Like, in America, there was no, like, national broadcast or anything like that. I don't know if that was because maybe some of the people in the newsroom actually did their research, or maybe some of the younger people who they probably have go out and look up this shit were internet savvy enough to know that that's not that guy. That's the music reviewer guy. So, you know, I don't know for what reason it was, but in America, there was no national, on a national level, confusion as to who was who. But in quite a few foreign countries, there was. And, again, I was in Las Vegas at the time, and at the time that the confusion was happening, I don't think it had been sort of verified whether or not he was, like, alive or dead yet. So I was like, oh God, I have to go to the airport in like 18 hours. Like, what if this guy is on the run and I got to go to the airport and my face has just literally been plastered over multiple newscasts?
Then you have to show up in a disguise and then it's even more suspicious.
Yeah, I'm just, can I please just wear my ski mask onto the plane, please?
This is crazy. Yeah, I just looked it up. You were very much mistaken as the shooter. I thought it was maybe, like, you know, maybe one intern is like the Sum Ting Wong troll.
Oh no, it was multiple news broadcasts, and with the Australian broadcast, which was probably the most egregious, they literally had my face next to one of the quotes that he had written on the internet.
Some of you guys are all right. Yeah, it has your face on it. Is Chris Mercer?
Well, let's just make sure that we're right about the guest here. You're not the shooter, right?
I can patently say no.
Okay, that's thank God. Hear. I thought we got it mixed up for a minute here.
Oh, is this where the "don't go to school tomorrow" meme comes from?
Yeah, he's the guy that said it, apparently.
Wow,
it's big, not Anthony. You know, the shooting thing, it's really not, it's not my style. I'm much more like that Mexican YouTuber who dissolved the bodies of the film students. That's more my vibe.
Yes. Well, you've got it on record now, everyone. So if that kind of crime does go down, and it's another Anthony Fantano lookalike, there's a good chance it might be the real guy. I really love I'm sure this is very stressful for you, but looking back on this is just an amazing perfect storm.
I was worried about it at the very moment that those broadcasts started happening, but then later in the day they had confirmed that he was taken out, so then I was like, okay, like, that's a little bit more
he's back from the dead, get him. God, he's a vampire.
It's a little bit more comforting because, I mean, maybe some people will have seen it and say something, but at least I'll know that law enforcement won't be looking for him, or at least they'll know that he's in a certain area, whereas I was in Las Vegas, which was nowhere near where any of that happened. So
Has it affected your life since then in any way, apart from us bringing it up now?
No, absolutely not. You know, honestly, like, while there was a plethora of people on the internet making that comparison, I wouldn't necessarily say that they were doing it maliciously. They just thought it was funny that we looked alike, because as soon as these misfires started happening in the news industry, those very same people in internet platforms, even the 4chan people, who were kind of making those jokes and making those comparisons and really actually kind of getting up my fucking ass on Twitter, like, yo, dude, you look like a shooter. As soon as news organizations started kind of making that false comparison and throwing my picture up there, they started like flooding all their websites and like flooding their social media and being like, you idiots got it wrong, you fucking idiots. And, you know, only we can call the Mellon the mass shooter or whatever. And, you know, started just like tearing these people down and just like leaving comment after comment after comment. So a lot of those news stories and stuff didn't stay up for too long because a lot of these platforms just like got flooded on social media and got harassed to the point where they like, okay, wait, we got it messed up.
Good.
Well, that's good then that it was rectified pretty quickly.
Yeah, thankfully. I mean, it was actually like the first time that I was put in a position where I was like, oh my God, like what the, I might have to get a lawyer right now because this is just like, because at the time when it initially happened, like I didn't know what kind of effect it could have on me. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because like, what if they're literally, are people who start mistaking me for that guy or something. And I have to kind of take matters into my own hands and like take somebody to court or seek some kind of damages because it's like hurt my reputation or something like that. So
yeah. You put me in this role. You asked for this. Actually shoot people.
Yeah. You set the stage for me. I have no choice now.
I'm just being what everyone wants me to be.
I like
and
the
that's
idea
on
the,
time. I like the movement watch.
Jesus. Fine.
Go ahead, Jackson.
No. Movement's a great watch company.
What does that have to do with serial killers, Jackson? What are you doing?
I don't know. I just like, I love Movement. I love Movement watches. I'd kill a bunch of people for a Movement watch at the moment. Kaya, tell them about my bloodlust for Movement.
Well, Movement is a movement not for murder, but for quality watches and quality sunglasses you can get for cheap. Not cheaper than a human life, but then again, I guess it doesn't cost that much, so... I got my glasses from Movement. They were nice enough to send some over to Germany, so I actually got them. I got to wear them. I love them. I like them a lot. So, you know, just to give you an example of Movement not only selling watches, you can also get glasses.
Anthony, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, Anthony, can you give us your endorsement for Movement watches?
Hey, have you never seen a watch? Don't believe me, just watch.
Thank you very much.
Who watches the Watchmen?
Movement watches have come a long way. They've come a very, very long way from two college kids who started their own company. Now they've sold in over 160 countries. I see you out there, Jessica Birdenan, pulling out your globe and counting because you go, there can't be that many countries in the world. There's more than that. And they've sold in over 160 countries. That's a lot. That's all over the place. That's crazy. Now, what does that say about the watch to you? What thought in your brain do you possibly think? Well, I'll answer for you. It's probably going, you know, maybe these watches are all right. Maybe they're pretty good. They're fucking great. And they start at $95. I am turning my head 45 degrees right now to look on my dresser, to look at the box containing my Movement watch, which I wear on the occasion. And God damn it, I genuinely think it is a smart and handsome watch. I am turning back now to the microphone to normalize my audio. And I got it for only $95. Now, if I got it at any other place ever, any other department store, any other location on Earth, I would pay $400 to $500. Movement doesn't care. Why? Because they have no middleman. They just go online, you order your watch straight from them, they send it to you, boom, done, $95, that's it. Classic design, quality construction, minimalist style. I don't know about you guys, I think less is more, and with that, you get a hell of a lot more with Movement. Charlie, could you please read off the bargaining chips?
I'm so glad you tossed it to me, Andrew. Those bargaining chips, man, those...
Where are you?
So you can get 15% off today with free shipping and free returns by going to movement.com/official. See why Movement keeps growing. Check out their expanding collection today by going to movement.com/official. Join the
well, movement spelled MVMT.com/official, not the boys, actual word movement.
MVMT.
You might be sitting there thinking, I don't need a watch. What do I need a watch for? What's the time? I'll look at my phone. I'll look at the sundial that I keep in my front lawn. But hey, you know what? Have you been watching the news? Have you been watching what's going on in the fucking world? Have you not seen our president? He's going to go meet up with Kim Jong-un to go denuclearize or some bullshit. That dude's an idiot. And he's talking to a man-child who thinks he's a god. We're on the border of a fucking nuclear holocaust. And when that happens, your phone, dead. Pointless. Useless. Your sundial, the sun's going to be fucking blacked out, you idiot. What you're going to need is a watch. You're going to need to know what time it is, because what's going to happen is there's going to be martial law and there's going to be a curfew that you have to get back into your house at a certain time, and you're not going to know how to keep track of that shit unless you got a watch on your wrist. Might seem like there's no point to it.
The sundial is going to be worthless when everything is glowing green in the dark with nuclear energy, okay?
Not only that, but after that happens, you're not going to be able to get online and order a movement watch, so order one right the fuck now.
You're going to be sitting next to Janine, and you're going to go, Janine, I believe the apocalypse just happened. What time is it? And she won't answer. She'll be a goddamn zombie. So you better have that watch so you can tell what time it is.
Yeah, you can look at your MVMT watch and say, it's the end of times, baby. Let's make a count.
Coming this summer, MVMT.
Can we real quick, in the spirit, can we real quick do the MVMT tradition, but in the spirit of our lovely guest Anthony, can we, instead of movie titles, do bands?
Ooh.
Band names.
I thought you were gonna do album titles. Band names?
Same. Albums or bands? Pick one.
We'll do band names, because I think we're gonna have a hard time. Yeah, we'll have a hard time with V. So that's
I'll go first.
Yeah, we'll go in Jack Order.
MGMT.
All right, Van Halen. That was hard.
Magician's Red.
What? No.
Yeah, that's a JoJo stand. But I thought it was a band as well.
Kaya?
Would you like to take it, Anthony?
Well, whatever the name of the band is that played in the Star Wars cantina.
do they start with a T?
I hope it starts with T, because that's good.
Yeah, the Star Wars band. You got it.
Hey.
If it doesn't, as a backup, I'll throw in Taylor Swift. There you go.
Perfect.
There
we go. Perfect. MVMT.com/official.
The best band. All right, sweet.
All right.
We made it.
So we can jump back into the controversy topic. What was the other goings-on that you were talking about before we dived into the serial killer?
I think just the Chris Mercer stuff. I don't know if there was anything else that we were talking about.
Oh, the article. I think it was Fader, right? You had a run-in with Fader doing some sketchy, shitty journalism, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the claims were settled. That's all I can say on that.
Okay. Yeah. I thought that was all kind of resolved.
The claims were settled. I can bring
up something more controversial. Have you guys noticed Taylor Swift's stunning silence on the, you know, South and North Korea?
I've been disgusted, man. She hasn't said a word about it.
She doesn't even tweet about politics. What is her problem?
What a fucking loser.
Why is she in the music industry if she's not going to tell me about North and South Korea?
That's the only place I get my news.
Is she even on Twitter?
Not often. I checked her Twitter pretty recently. She usually only tweets if it's like a promotional tweet for like her upcoming like Queef odorless spray or something, just like useless products.
That's Amy Schumer you're thinking of.
Well, that probably is Amy Schumer, but Taylor Swift's tweets are just as useless.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like a cardinal sin to compare anyone to Amy Schumer, but they're just as bad.
Do you ever think that if Amy Schumer put out a comedy album, it would just be a recording of her queefing for an hour?
I don't know, but I think you gave her an idea, if nothing else.
I think I gave her material.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Is there anyone in the music industry you have no respect for, Anthony? For instance, for me personally, it's Amy Schumer's work. I just find it all very lazy and uninspired and samey. Is there anyone in the music industry that you just genuinely can't stand anything they put out?
I mean, I've heard quite a bit of what Amy Schumer does, and I wouldn't insult her as much as to say that, hey, that she just queefs for an hour and blah, 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 blah. I mean, if Amy Schumer did an album, I know that probably at least a half an hour would be filled with other people's jokes. So
we gotta give her credit,
I mean, that's just so many shades
talent.
Above. Yes, exactly. Because you have to deliver it, you have to make it other people. Well, I mean, you know, depending on the audience, which I mean, Amy Schumer's audience, but you have to trick the audience into thinking that they're your jokes. So
that
you
would
know,
never work. You know, that would absolutely never work. What with Carlos Mencia and all those other people who did it.
How dare you?
As far as like stuff that I have no respect for in the music industry, I was just thinking the other day, like someone was asking me what do I think is a little overrated? I'll go through a couple different things. What do I think is overrated? I think Pavement's a little overrated. Pavement's a little overrated, honestly. That might be a bit of a cardinal sin saying that right there. But as far as like a lack of respect, you know, I guess I have a hard time sort of seeing what all the hype is, even at this point, after he's been in the industry for so long, and even though his last record was probably one of his better ones, but I still have a hard time just justifying the existence of Big Sean. Like, he just seems like the music industry's most non-essential character. Like, every single time I hear an album of his, like, it just seems like a hodgepodge of all his contemporaries. And he has, like, a very, I don't know, just, like, particularly bad simile writing style.
A name I haven't heard in a long time. In my junior year, I think it was, of college, he was the UT's Party in the Park performer. And I'd never really heard any of his work before that, but I went to it because I went to the University of Tampa. And I went there, and it made me so sick to my stomach and gave me the hardest headache. I had to go and puke into my dorm room, and I slept for the next 12 hours. I'm not saying his music did that, but it might have just been one hell of an unfortunate coincidence.
Sounds like he gave you food poisoning.
Really? Injected it into your veins. God.
Via audible waves, I guess.
Like one of those government's top secret weapons.
Big Sean's music. Make everyone sick.
Big Sean's part of the Department of Defense.
You guys miss that sort of shit? Do you ever read like Wikipedia articles on old-timey government experiments?
Oh, I love like, that left shit. Out? Yes, like, I absolutely love that shit.
Yeah, what was the mind control shit called?
The Project Men MK That Stare Ultra? The Goats was... that was based on it. MK where they Ultra. Tried to,
they had such cool names too, like Cloud Seed, where they would try to create tornadoes and then steer them. Why doesn't that happen anymore? The fucking government's funds used for these badass things.
The fucking Cold War, man, was where the actual world supervillains almost came to light. There was some crazy fucking ideas back then.
There were some ridiculously scary ones, too, though, that I'm so glad didn't make it. The one that always sticks out to me is they had a literal gay bomb that they would drop and turn the population gay. I don't know how that was supposed to be like a weapon, but it was aimed to just turn everyone gay. I guess playing the long con where they don't reproduce or something. I really don't know, but they had an actual gay bomb.
The gay bomb.
That would be genius if it worked. That's not a long con. Literally just one generation would immediately die out.
Yeah, here they called it two things, the halitosis bomb or the gay bomb. Mm-hmm. Different things.
Wait, the halitosis bomb?
Yeah,
I don't know why it's bad breath.
So the bomb would just literally turn people gay?
I don't really understand why it would also be called.
Yeah,
no,
I am looking at it, and it says that the bomb's just supposed to like discharge pheromones and make like people sexually attracted to the same sex. But the thing is, like, even if you did do that today, like, it wouldn't even work because then all of the now gay people could just like. Just take their eggs or take their semen and then just like, you know, just fucking like make babies just through artificial insemination. So yeah, you literally have like a whole generation of people overcome the gay bomb and just like have kids anyway.
Really tedious though. At least, I mean, at least much more tedious than the usual way, which is, hey, we fuck, we get drunk, we fuck, and we regret it the day after. But whoops, soldier.
Listen, you could do that too. I mean, there's no law saying that gay people can't have sex with women.
Yeah,
you know, as long as it's consensual.
Yeah, it's kind of a shit plan because you could just have some, like, even if everyone is completely gay, you have a dude jack off in a cup and then artificially inseminate the women. It's not going to stop reproduction.
That's probably why it didn't make it past like the brainstorming stages because there's so many ways to circumvent this.
I think you guys are missing the main point here is that this is more so psychological warfare. Someone having a bomb that turns entire populations gay, that's pretty terrifying.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess.
Like, if they drop it against your will and suddenly you've changed your whole life. I don't know.
I mean,
I guess
back then, it probably would have been really scary given just like all the assumptions and stereotypes and.
It wasn't that long ago, actually. I thought it was like in the early 90s is when it was proposed. Yeah, 1995, I think.
1995?
Yeah. Well, I guess this was kind of like, all right, the Cold War's over, but we still want some action.
Jesus, I don't know why, but very it was late.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It was one of like the later stages of things, so it's very odd.
I feel like all of that creepy shit will at some point make a comeback once we solve all the CRISPR shit. Because I think then you could actually do that. Once we map all the brain stuff, all the genes, all the DNA, all the CRISPR stuff, and we get better at it, I think they're going to find some way to just spray some chemical into the air, much like with the frogs, and turn people gay, give them bad breath, I guess, if that was their point, their goal, and create some storms.
If there was CRISPR, though, couldn't you just go into your local like supermarket and get a CRISPR injection to turn yourself back to normal?
Yeah, there'd always with CRISPR, you could always re-engineer it differently. But I guess you could, I don't know, lace it with an actual offensive firepower, like it's an actual bomb, and it's just like the radiation turns you gay. But I guess
that depends on
explosion.
What resources your enemy has. Maybe they don't have CRISPR yet.
That's true.
They're just, you know, now they're just stuck there being all gay and stuff.
God forbid.
The horrors.
Yikes.
What a nightmare.
That's crazy to think, man, that would actually be like a weapon they hypothesized. That's so fucked up.
Yeah, and again, like you were right. Like they just proposed it in 1994. It's hilarious to think just how not far into the past that is. Like if you think of a group of scientists like getting together and conceiving of the gay bomb, you would think more that's like a 1950s kind of thing. The sort of culture that would also like watch and just nod their heads at like a Reefer Madness type film. But no, it's literally just like about 20 years or so ago. Just, yeah, the gay bomb.
Like have that on the back burner? Like, hey guys, you know, if everything goes south, we still have the gay bomb documents. We can still use that.
An archive of all the research they had to.
Yeah. Think they have they have like a bat cave full of just random gadgets of bullshit.
I mean,
that's the itchy machine, and over there is the yucky taste mobile.
Our government has done all kinds of crazy shit to justify war, topple governments that they don't like, or don't use the American dollar when they're using foreign currency, which Iran just decided to stop doing. So, of course, there's now a ramped up war effort against them. I don't know if you guys saw that really awkward PowerPoint that Netanyahu did today to advocate for striking against Iran.
With
a gay bomb, I hope.
Yeah, it was the gay bomb.
That was the whole PowerPoint, pros and cons.
Well, he had this like really awful looking PowerPoint behind him. I have no idea who the hell made it for him. And basically the whole point of the PowerPoint was to advocate for this idea that Iran is not following the protocol of the nuclear deal that they made with the US, even though the part of the deal is that the UN has to go in there and look and so on and so forth. And according to the UN, they are following the deal and America is still in the deal. But Netanyahu is essentially trying to push Trump and push us into backing out of the deal and just like attacking them.
Well, I mean, I think nuclear bombs are a thing of the past. Now it's all about the geostorm devices that the U.S. is cooking up and
Iran actually might have a secret plan. I'm not sure if it was Iran or Pakistan, but one of them is building a gay detector. At least they were a couple of years ago. I don't know if you guys read up on this, but a couple of years ago, one of these nations were trying to create a gay detector so they could screen people at the airports. So yeah, you know, you don't want any gay people entering the country.
Exactly where you don't want the gay people to be at the airport.
Sir, I cannot allow you on this flight. You're too gay.
you've registered in at 9 gay units. That's way too high.
We are over capacity.
You'll distract our gay pilots, and then they'll crash.
Sir, we are over capacity for gayness on this flight. I'm gonna have to ask you to leave.
They just hold it at him like.
They put it near his balls, and you just hear whee.
Glass breaks. Oh God, he's too gay.
Get him out of here. Someone get him watching football. Stat.
Bring out titties and rock and roll. But that, I mean, I think the next big bomb that's gonna eclipse the gay bomb is when they start delivering baldness via bomb, and then the only form of defense is going to be hymns. Tell them about it, Andrew.
Well, four hymns, as Charlie incorrectly called it. .com is a one-stop shop for hair loss, skin care, sexual wellness, and for men. Thanks to science, you know, that thing that cooks up disgusting death rays and gay bombs and all that, but can also help you, because Hims will connect you with a real doctor and medical-grade solutions to treat hair loss. You get, what do you get with Hims? You get well-known generic equivalents to name brand prescriptions to help you keep your hair. I don't know about you. I don't give a fuck about like the Tylenols or any of that. Just pass me the acetaminophen. I don't care who makes it. Works just as fine. There's no snake oils. There's no gas station bullshit. These are prescription solutions backed by science. The same science that brought you the gay detector. So you can trust it. There's no waiting room. There's no awkward doctor visits. You can save hours by going to 4hims.com. It's so easy. And in fact, it's so easy. One of the bullet points I have here literally is just the words, so easy. You answer
Andrew,
a few
have
quick
you
questions.
Ever had difficulty getting a boner?
No.
Not anymore, thanks to 4hims. Am I right?
You're right. You're right. All those times I thought grow, penis, grow, and nothing happened will be a thing of the past.
Let's say for whatever reason you're, I don't know, maybe you're insane, maybe you're stupid, you're planning a trip to the Middle East. And you land at the Saudi Arabian airport and they put you through a test. They suspect, you know, they tell you, hey, listen, man, you kind of look gay. We're going to show you some straight porn. And if you don't get a boner, we're going to kill you. That's where 4hims saves your life. You take one pill that they give you. You get a straight erection. You know, you spout some normie straight lines like, oh, yeah, look at her tits. I love her tits. I'm glad the bully hunters aren't here. And they're going to be like, all right, pass, go. Have fun in Saudi Arabia. So 4hims just saved your life. And you get this deal by going to 4hims.com/official. Never forget the slash official. You get, for just $5, our listeners get a trial month. Get your hair back. You know, you don't want to look all bald and homosexual, unless that's your style.
Anthony, from a bald man's perspective, what do you think about 4hims?
I pretty much shave my own head every few weeks. I am in just kind of in a state of self-imposed baldness. This has kind of been my hairstyle of choice for a majority of my life. Even when I could grow hair better, I have zero interest in this product. But hey, you know, don't let that stop you, you know, because
what about the penis pills?
Maybe. Yes. Well, I mean, listen, your boy is on a low cholesterol vegan diet. That dick gets hard. Okay. It's a hard banana. Okay. It's a wily, wild, out of control banana. Honestly, I've been considering going down to the McDonald's and just slamming some Big Macs just to get some like more just to get some more like heart, like crushing cholesterol and fat into my diet. So I don't got to deal with this wild man, primitive caveman hard on shit for the rest of my life.
If you want the Anthony Fantano style boner, go to 4hims.com. Boys, I'm so inspired. I think I might have to give my personal endorsement right now. This is It's a bit unconventional. I'm a skin boy. Are any of you guys a skin boy? Just me? All right, just me. Great.
Ed Gein over here.
It means that I enjoy the occasional lotion. You put it on your hands. Yeah. You occasionally put it on some dry. I think I have hand lotion. I think it's a fucking miracle drug. 4hims is in the future going to be offering skin lotion samplings and varieties. So why not get in on the ground floor, try out their other products, and then stay
tuned.
Where
are you getting this from?
I looked at their website, believe it or not.
Oh, that's not on our sheet. He's going off book.
But shit.
It's the I'm going rogue.
Andrew's working outside the system. He gave up his badge and gun.
So what I'm saying is, why not get on the ground floor, maybe treat your penis, treat your hair, and then you can treat your skin in the future. But for right now, if you're... Well, we didn't give them the offer.
We did.
We did. For $5, you get a trial month. Yeah, it's 4hims.com/official. This is no snake oil bullshit.
Okay,
you get an actual prescription from doctors. It's easy. Go to 4hims.com/official.
Better ingredients, better penis. 4hims.
You'll love how it tastes.
I think we nailed it there, boys.
Beat any gay detector.
I think we can go ahead and throw this one over to the Patreon questions now. So, Anthony, we have Patreons that will ask questions when we have the guests on. So this comes from the lovely people from over on that that side of the pond. Go ahead, Kaya. Let's see what we got.
Go ahead, Jackson. Let's see what we got.
All right. So this one comes from Telesthea, who says, who asks, Anthony, do you have a strangely specific fetish of any kind or any fetishes that you want to share with us?
I just like a nice round plump booty.
Color palette.
So you're a booty man.
I'm a booty man. Booty man, dark hair. Love dark hair.
Mm. On the booty.
I agree. I think dark hair.
Yeah, yes, a nice hairy booty.
Old hairy asshole, baby.
Oh yeah. I want my dick to get trapped like a web of spiders.
I want it to look like a fucking Gandalf's mouth.
I want it to look like a obstacle from Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Like I'm going into Dumbledore's beard.
Velcro cock, nice.
Hey.
All right, I guess if that's where that ends, I have a question that I also wanted to ask myself. So this is from the the Animaniac. I guess a pun on Animaniacs and anime. He asks, is there any particular review that you look back on and wish you could redo and rescore? And I want to expand that to a question that I had, which is, how do you think that your music taste has changed in bulk over time?
I think over time I've become a little bit more of a poptimist than I was originally. When I first started the channel, I was mostly just trying to cover super underground stuff, super indie stuff, much more obscure stuff. Somebody made a funny comment about my Janelle Monáe Arc Android review because they went back to it because they know I'm going to be reviewing a new record really soon. And they said that I had said at one point in the review that this is more mainstream than I usually like to go when I do my reviews. But it was a super incredible record. So it did kind of pull me out of that. And you know, in the internet age, I feel like artists have so much more creative freedom to sort of do something weird and do something outside of the norm, as long as they're kind of appealing to their niche and, you know, their fans are kind of lining up to stream their records. So, you know, I feel like that's the reason that you get albums like Kid Cudi's Speed and Bullet to Heaven, or even that Miley Cyrus Dead Pets album. I mean, neither of which I like, but are just like so whacked out. Like, you would never have that album in the 90s. That album would never come out in the 2000s. Like, a record label executive would just like put the kibosh on that like right away. So these days, records like that pop up, and I guess that's my answer to that side of the question. As far as like a review that I can go back and change, I've been trying to think of a second part to a video that I did not too long ago where it was like 10 albums I've kind of changed my mind on since I originally reviewed them. And I've gone over those records before, but I think one recently that if I were to do a second part that I would probably add on there is that Foo Fighters album, Wasting Light. Not that my review originally wasn't negative, but I do think it's in retrospect a more solid album than I originally thought it was.
Which one is it? Is that the one that had Learn to Fly on it?
That's the one that had that white limo song on it with Lemmy in the music video. It also had a Learning to Walk Again.
Oh, that one. I remember that boner jam.
Yeah.
Okay. I know.
Oh, is that one of your boner jams? Do you put on music to jerk off and you put on Learning to Walk Again?
I can't say I do. It's just boner jam being an all-encompassing term for a song I like, I guess.
Got it. I love how Dave Grohl really digs into his digs into that growl on that hook. He's like really swallowing it.
I think he's a good vocalist, man.
He's a good singer.
Yeah, I wish he'd do more of like his older stuff, like There Goes My Hero. It's not exactly an older song, but I really like that song. Yeah, not even just one. As a meme song. I just think it's a solid song all around.
is that really the meme song? I thought the best was the meme song.
Yeah, the best is definitely the meme song.
No, There Goes My Hero. Because like, I guess you guys never watched the Line Rider videos when they were popular on YouTube. That's embarrassing.
Okay.
Yeah, almost.
Embarrassing that we don't know, or embarrassing that you do know?
No, you don't know. I mean, if you missed the surge of Line Rider videos from like the 2008 era, I can't be more sorry for you. They were all set to Foo Fighters, There Goes My Hero. And then like the other guys, when they jumped off the building, that was set to There Goes My Hero. I think that's their biggest meme song.
No, I mean, the best was literally a meme song. The meme itself was about the song. This is just coincidental internet content. The best was by far.
I guess we're doing a different definition of meme song. I say like used in memes and such. Yours is more the song itself being a meme.
Let us know in the comments which what Foo Fighters song do you think was a bigger meme?
What side are you on?
Right now, I'm looking at a video that has 373 views, two thumbs up and one thumb down. That says "Line Rider with music." Open parentheses and funny end. Close parentheses. And it's a minute and 36 seconds long, and I am ready for a laugh.
Oh baby,
nothing says comedy like good old Line Rider videos. It might even be one of mine from when I was a kid. Who knows?
Did you make him a Line Rider video?
I made one a long time ago when I was making like anime music videos on that other channel. I also did a Line Rider one, but those are lost to time. Unless Anthony Fantano's dug up that grave.
You know, I just literally brought a old PC that I made all of my earliest videos on over to Staples to do a data transfer. And I just got it back today, and I started going through the data on there on my old hard drive because I thought a bunch of old videos would be on there, but no such luck. Just a bunch of old cringy pictures of me from high school.
It fucking
do you
sucks,
feel sad?
Man.
Yeah, I do feel kind of sad because I thought like all of my 2009 videos, or at least some of them, might be on there. But honestly, when I was starting doing this, I didn't really have the foresight to save any of my videos. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I would just like kind of put them up, and eventually I had to delete all of them because a lot of them had song clips in them and they were like getting DMCA and I was getting copyright strikes and stuff, which back in the day, like they didn't have it set up like they do now where, you know, you just kind of get like claimed and then the copyright holder just monetizing your video instead of you monetizing it. Like back in the day, they used to just like strike you for that sort of thing. And if you got three strikes, you were just like gone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was one of the main reasons I deleted most of my older Gears of War stuff, but I'd still like to really go back and revisit it. You're lucky that you at least have the old computer. I'd love to find that old fucking archaic dinosaur that I used to make videos on, but I threw that out. Rest in peace. What do we have next from Patreon, Jackson?
I mean, I got another one if you want to stick with me, but if Jackson's got one, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
we'll stick with you, Andrew.
No. I just assumed because I thought I was the one getting them because I got the first one. But Jackson, have one, go ahead.
Did I not get the first one? I asked about the fetish, but anyway, it does not matter. Go for it.
Okay, I didn't mean to jump in front. I just thought I was taking the helm.
Go for it.
Okay, this is from Purple Paladin. Are there any video game soundtracks you particularly enjoy?
You know, aside from like old school NES, SNES, and you know, N64 stuff, which is probably like my prime gaming years. I really love that new Cuphead soundtrack. It's fucking amazing.
It is so good. It is fantastic.
So authentic as well.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, it's just really good jazz.
Well, what old ones do you like as well? I mean, we're not shy for old games.
You know, just like Metroid, Donkey Kong Country.
There it is. That's the
Kirby
one.
Ones were sick. All Mega Man 2 was fucking awesome. Mega Man 3 was fucking awesome. What the fuck else? Chrono Trigger and Secret of Mana. Mm-hmm. Really good.
I think it's a huge, I don't know how to put it, not a gap in skill, but a real testament to skill where if you have maybe, I think, four tracks of audio and two of them are just the same.
And it's all 16-bit audio or it's all 8-bit audio.
And a lot of it is repeated because it's the same tones and you can craft such diverse soundtracks from it. I think that that's a real testament to the artist.
Well, you know, that's one of the cool things about the Metroid soundtrack because it's like not only were those limitations there, but I feel like that was one of the few video game soundtracks at the time that really kind of tried to appreciate space and ambience because a lot of those songs weren't like super busy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like a lot of them were just like super spacey, very patient, like bleeps and bloops, but it like gave the song, it gave the game such like an eerie, weird vibe that I don't really think any other game around that time had to the same degree.
Did you ever play the original Nier for the Xbox 360?
No.
I think that's probably one of the best video game soundtracks ever made. It's a orchestral soundtrack for the most part, and it's just really well made. I'd highly encourage you to maybe give that a try. There's not a bad song on that entire soundtrack. That's the one I always promote as like, you know, video game soundtrack being more than just good in a video game setting. I think it's just genuinely fantastic.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not a I mean, it's obviously not an original soundtrack, but I feel like it's kind of groundbreaking because it sort of set a kind of tone with a lot of video games to almost be presented in the same way that movies are. But Grand Theft Auto, Vice City.
Oh, baby. Oh, yeah. Yeah. The licensing like, in Grand Theft Auto is nuts.
Yeah. And just you know, the fact that, I mean, in the previous one, I mean, there were some good songs on that one too, but the radio stations didn't have that much music on there. And I loved how, you know, you had different radio stations for like different parts of the city, like the reggae station and so on and so forth. But then later when they did the Vice City thing, it was just so awesome and different for that time because, you know, around that time, like it was probably easier for them to license that stuff than it would be to do anything contemporary because it was just all 80s shit, you know, like music that at the time, like nobody was listening to, nobody cared about, nobody was talking about, like was just old hat at that point. And like that game kind of single-handedly like brought interest in a lot of those artists back. And it's just kind of crazy.
I mean, that game did a lot of big things for sure. I used to play the fuck out of that game. You said you had another question, Andrew?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to jump on that question real quick and say, do you think there's any overrated game soundtracks that get a lot of praise that you don't agree with? Because I'd be interested in hearing that.
Honestly, not that I could think of. You know, I haven't had anybody like forcing a video game soundtrack down my throat that I thought was terrible. You know what I mean? So. I mean, typically, you know, there are some, I guess, segments of the music game where if there's like a large fan base around it, like a video game soundtrack, like video games are popular, but rarely does a video game soundtrack get popular if it's not actually good, because at the end of the day, like, the developers are just selling you the game. You know, they're not really trying to force the soundtrack down your throat. Like, you could either take or leave the soundtrack. I mean, in most games, you could actually turn the soundtrack the fuck off if you don't like it. So, you know, people don't really fuck with the soundtrack unless it truly is like a good kind of unique soundtrack. You know, it's sort of the same case with like jazz and bebop shit and that sort of thing. Like, there's often not a lot of venues out there promoting that kind of thing. So if there's a large fan base around a particular record or a particular artist, chances are it's because those people are just really hardcore into that shit. And it actually is like pretty good. Not because anybody's forcing it down their throat. You know, typically when something is like overrated as fuck, there's usually kind of like a big industry push behind just sort of like getting it down people's throats, or it's kind of in the case of like a Tool or a Radiohead where, you know, both of those bands are great. You know, I love their stuff, but, you know, I kind of get the feeling that their fans sometimes like get this opinion of them that they're like the deepest fucking band to ever exist on the plane of human existence. When it's like, you know, they're not the most experimental band, they're not the most progressive band, they're not the most inventive band, but because they've kind of reached this mainstream status peak and there's not a whole lot of other artists out there on their popularity level that sound like them, there's a lot of people who are sort of on the surface level and are under the impression that like, whoa, nothing else out there is like this. When it's like, it's not quite the case, which I'm sure you guys can probably think of games that are like that.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I think that's not exclusive to the music industry. There's people like that with everything. This next question comes from Gothboy Kane, who asks, does the popularity of a song serve to make it better or worse, and why? Does it affect your opinions of songs?
I think it can affect not necessarily my analyzation of the song, but my enjoyment of the track, in that maybe it ends up being like super fucking played out. Because even if I acknowledge that a song does have like a lot of good qualities in it, if I just hear it too many times and it's just kind of one of those repetitive, just I've gotten so sick of it sort of things, then, you know, that can definitely sort of impact whether or not I actually want to hear the song or whether or not I enjoy the track. But I mean, the popularity of a song, honestly, at the end of the day, it doesn't really factor into whether or not I care about it, whether or not I think it's good, whether or not I think it's bad. I mean, I have to review popular shit all the time, and I have to review unpopular shit all the time. And as of right now, it's my review schedule is so packed and it's so hectic that sometimes it's hard to even, I guess, kind of take into account fully how popular a song or an artist might be before I give it a negative review, before I give it a positive review. I guess at the end of the day, like, what, you know, ends up disappointing me most is when I think something is like really, really great and, you know, just ends up just not taking for whatever reason.
Yeah, because you feel so passionate about it. It's like your little baby.
Yeah.
You want to succeed.
One example of that last year was definitely Kieran J. Callinan, whose record didn't like really blow up until that meme came out of, the guy like screaming in the mountains, Jimmy Barnes. You guys know which one I'm talking about? The big enough meme?
Big enough.
It sounds familiar.
No. It sounds like even the meme failed.
Oh, no. The meme's huge. It's a big meme. It's this wild music video that he did with another audience from another artist who's from the Australian area, and they're both dressed as cowboys, and there's this like really dramatic series of outside shots, and then there's this big musical buildup, and at that point they feature this older Australian singer named Jimmy Barnes, who, if you guys are familiar with AC/DC, he had a vocal style a lot like their singer, their current singer. And you know, he kind of has that like raspy, sort of style. But the thing is, like, he pushed that to such a limit back in the 80s when he was more popular, and he would just like wail on tracks, like vocally. And he featured him on the song as sort of like this tribute to like, you know, this old Australian rock star. And when he pops into the track, he's just like, and the way that they presented in the music video is like they've superimposed him as a giant in the sky hanging out behind the mountain that they're sort of like, you know, singing and dancing in front of. And people have literally just like cut the music video to that point and turned him sort of like screaming in front of this mountain as a meme. And they sort of like cut it together with movie clips and a bunch of other shit. And that meme got him like festival stage gigs and stuff because that song was so huge.
Wow.
Even Jimmy Fallon was like making fun of the song because the meme got so big. And
a meme bringing success to someone. Jesus.
Yeah, that's what happened with the Foo Fighters.
They were no one until the best of the memes took off.
Not until Lion Rider. Lion Rider really pushed them over.
Who the hell heard of Dave Grohl
before the best loser. Meme?
Nerds or something? Never heard of them. That brings me to this question I'd like to ask you, though. What about concerts? Are you a big concert goer? Do you enjoy concerts, or you just like to listen to the albums?
When I go to concerts, I just prefer more just like a small club setting and that sort of thing. Mm. Or just like, you know, a specific live performance. Because, I mean, festivals can be cool, but I'm not so much of a festival guy. I was when I was a kid. You know, I loved to go to punk festivals and metal festivals and that sort of thing. I went to Ozfest when I was in high school like 4 times. I saw like Sabbath on the main stage when they originally like reformed after so many years. I saw Marilyn Manson on the main stage over there, and a lot of good artists on that festival lineup. But these days, you know, if an artist is coming my way in my home state, or if I can make the trip out to New York or Boston, that's typically where I'll go see a show. Although I recently, like, I typically don't like to blow too much on concert tickets, but I recently bought tickets to the Slayer Farewell Tour, which is going to be coming up this summer, so I'm pretty excited about that. And there's also a David Byrne concert that I saw not too long ago, which was actually incredible. The whole band was wireless, so you had drummers who had drums sort of hooked up to them on, you know, like shoulder straps, like a marching band. And, you know, the bass players and guitar players were standing, and you had other percussionists who had their instruments strapped to them. And you even had a keyboard player who had his keyboard sort of like on a shoulder strap, just like in front of him. And everybody was standing and getting into these like weird little marching band formations. And like I said, all the instruments were wireless, so nobody was wired to anything. Like, it was all just wireless into the PA. And
that's really cool.
They were like getting into, it was really awesome. And they were all like dressed in gray and using different kind of weird light positioning to make crazy, trippy, psychedelic, weird visuals on the stage. It was actually pretty amazing.
That sounds more like a visual performance over just an audio one. So that's really cool.
Yeah.
And then we can go ahead and start wrapping up here in a moment. But there's one other question I'd like to toss your way. Do you mainly listen to like actually produced albums, or do you also like dabble in something like Viper the Rapper or Cole the Rapper, if you're familiar with either of them?
Yeah, I mean, I like some of Viper's stuff, and I will listen to the stuff that is of that grade if that's kind of the point of it. You know what I mean? Like, I hate it when people just sort of send me demo shit. Because the thing is, like, what you send me or what I would like to hear, even if it does end up being lo-fi, is whatever you feel like your finished product is, you know, whatever you feel like your final vision or as close to your final vision as possible. So even if it does end up being like kind of weird, noisy, lo-fi stuff, which honestly, I do review quite a bit of stuff like that positively because I do like the idea of kind of alternative recording styles, alternative production styles. Often that's where a lot of new ideas and, you know, new cutting edge sounds kind of come from that bubble up in the underground and sort of reach up into the mainstream. You know, I love it when an artist can kind of mix things and master things and kind of play with sound and interesting in a unique way. It's, you know, kind of boring if you're just listening to super sterile, super clean, super pristine studio recordings all the time, because it's all just really orthodox. You know what I mean? If it was left up to the mainstream, nothing would ever fucking change. You know, it's the underground that creates the trends, and the trends sort of eventually climb up into the mainstream and sort of take over up there. So yeah, you know, I like it when an artist such as Viper or Little B or Death Grips or Clipping and so on and so forth can sort of come through with an alternative production style that sort of complements their sound and their vibe.
Now, this is a long shot, but are you familiar with the up-and-coming rapper named Lanze, or Lanz, however you pronounce it? He's a rapper who pretends to have asthma, so all of his tracks are basically him having a hard, like, hyperventilating attack throughout the song.
Yeah, he has that song, Wit It.
Yeah, oh, I cannot believe you know this guy. What do you give him on your scale?
Well, yeah, the Wit It song was kind of hot in the SoundCloud scene for a second.
Really?
Yeah, like with, you know, with all the rappers and all the fans who, wow, you know, love that super like blown out, aggressive, like XXXTentacion, like meme rap type shit. They were like super into that track. And I don't know, like I haven't really followed a lot of what he's done since that song and a few after. So is he still on the come up? He's got a project coming out soon.
I mean, if you want to call it the come up, man, I guess he's like one step away from actually like suffocating to death.
His delivery is insane. I'll give it that. Like I definitely know a Land song when I hear one.
It's very hard to mistake
that niche.
Yeah, it's like an animal getting run over but still talking to you. I'd highly encourage any listeners out there to check out some Lands.
He's kind of old, but the reason I bring it up is because I guess my wife just found out about him recently and texted me and just like, have you heard of this guy? I'm like, yeah, I fucking know that guy. Have you guys heard of Ice JJ Fish?
Oh, the classic, yeah.
Yeah, On the Floor.
Yeah, I love Ice JJ Fish.
I guess he's
like the pioneer of like horrible, horrible rap.
I mean, Little B was before him though. So
that's true. Little B's ancient. He's real fucking ancient.
I mean, well, he's just like the god of this whole new wave, Little B. Mm-hmm.
He follows 3 million people on Twitter as well. It's crazy.
He's got a lot of friends.
3 million of them. Yeah.
He follows me on Twitter. Jackson, if you check your following list, he probably follows you as well.
Oh, God, I hope so.
Wow.
Has he tweeted at you, though?
No, I even messaged him one time about coming on the podcast, but I imagine he's inundated with so many messages from his 3 million friends.
You know, I'm looking at his Twitter now. He's following more people than that are following him. He's following 1.6 million people. You know what's funny about that? Like, when I see that, what boggles my mind is that you literally clicked the follow button a million and a half times.
I know. Like, it's fucking crazy. Nuts.
Like how much time would that take up if you took all that time and compiled it? Like, would it be enough time to watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy or something? Like, I don't know.
It'd take longer than that, surely. Absolutely.
Would it take up all the time to read the Harry Potter books or something?
Yeah, maybe he must have like a full team dedicated to just following people.
No, I think he's a one man show here. Did you check? Does he follow you?
No, he doesn't follow me, and now I'm sad.
Oh,
I thought I made a new friend.
His fucking I clicked on his following list one time just because I was curious. It's quite genuinely just anyone whose name he typed in by accident once, and now he follows them.
Mm.
It's crazy, man. The guy is one hell of a specimen.
It's is it. Is it like a marketing thing? Because he's got a large amount of followers, so maybe he's just mass following people so that they follow him back.
Oh, with Little B back in the day, everything was marketing, everything that he did. Because the thing is, like, when he started getting these viral tracks in 2009 and 2010, like, hip hop was so in the old head, hyper masculine mind state that is just kind of completely obliterated right now. Not entirely, but in a lot of ways obliterated. Like, you see guys like Young Thug right now marching around in dresses and, like, you know, really colorful jewelry, like the kind of thing that if you had a rapper doing that in 2003, like, dudes' heads would fucking explode. But what's funny is, like, Little B back then, like, back 2009, all he had to do was wear a tight purple shirt and, like, the comments under his music videos would be fucking raging. Just like, fuck you, you faggot. Get this gay shit out of hip hop. Who's this fucking loser with the tight purple shirt? Who's this fucking loser with the tiny pants? Who's this fucking gay this, gay that, blah, 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 blah. So it's like he would have these weird little, like, wardrobe additions in every other music video. Like, there was one music video that he did that I remember got people going fucking crazy, where he was just wearing, like, these old lady clip-on earrings. Like these old, like, black church lady, like pearl, like, super, like, encrusted, like, very colorful looking costume jewelry type earrings and, like a big sun hat. And it was, like, legit just doing the whole rap video, like, in that outfit, and people are going fucking nuts. It's just so funny to think of, like, the weird little things that he'd wear that today, like, people wouldn't even give a shit. It's like, so what? Yeah, everybody, there's, like, five rappers on SoundCloud wearing the same exact outfit right now. It's not a big deal.
Yeah, maybe he's the pioneer, man.
Oh, he's definitely a pioneer in terms of just, like, just rappers acting weird these days to get attention and just, like, dressing crazy. Like, he's so a pioneer in that. And also a pioneer in just recording really lo-fi weird rap music. Just, although Little B, I feel like back in the day he was doing it in a way, like, to consciously troll people, because the angrier he made a lot of the more established names and more established voices in the hip hop community, the more attention that he got, and actually the more fans that he got too. Like, the dude, he had lots of haters, but the fact that so many people were hating him and were covering him, like, brought him tons of fans as well. These days,
makes a lot of sense.
He's on Twitter quite a bit, but he, as far as, like, music releases, he lies pretty dormant. I mean, he had an album last year that was, pretty long, and it was decent. You know, it had some okay tracks on it, but the album was like 30 songs, like 40 songs or some shit.
Jesus.
So, you know, it was seriously a slog, and there were some tracks on there that were not that great. But the thing is, like, with a Little B tape, there's usually some highs and lows, but it's all pretty fucking weird.
Jackson, you think that number's high? We can wrap up after this. This is a mic drop. Viper the rapper, the one that we mentioned a moment ago.
Oh yeah, there
Viper.
Was a point when he was dropping an album like every day or every hour or something.
I've seen Viper. Yeah,
I love him so much.
But I don't think you know how big his number is of songs. In 2015, he dropped over 3,000 albums.
I've heard quite a few of them.
Yeah, it's fucking nuts. I actually tried to find, like, a full number of everything he's done the other day. Nobody knows, because he's dropped so many albums, it's almost impossible to keep track.
How is there that many, like, word combinations that he could do this?
I went on his...
Listen, if you check those albums out, a lot of that shit just sounds exactly the same.
A lot of it is, like, the same song, but maybe he farted it, like, 30 seconds in. That's, like, a whole new track on the listing.
Right.
Yeah. All right, we can go ahead and wrap it up now, though. Yeah, there's really appreciate you coming on, Anthony. If there's anything you want to plug, now's the time, man.
Just check out my YouTube channel, youtube.com/theneedledrop or youtube.com/Fantano. That's where I do my music reviews and my music commentary. And check out that Post Malone review. Post Malone review.
Ooh, yeah, check it out. It should definitely be up by the time this episode goes up, so go check it out.
Yep.
Beautiful.
Yep. All right,
thanks for coming on, man.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
All right, thank you to everyone listening. And Kai, is there anything you want to shout out quickly?
Yeah, sure, our Patreon. So all of the questions that you've heard were from our patrons. If you subscribe to any tier, you can ask our guests questions or ask us questions. But most importantly, if you You know, for just $5, you get access to all of our bonus episodes. No ads.
Ad-free.
Full length. They're at least all an hour and a half in length. We have guests like Rice Pirate, whom we had last week. And then we had James Ellen McCune, the famous actor. So if you want to check those things out, right now we have, I think, 7 full-length episodes, bonuses. So if you're interested in that, go to official.man/Patreon.
Ooh. Ooh, so lovely. Also, with this episode, I'm going to put a song that Running in Place made at the start of this intro, the official song. So thank you a lot to Running in Place for recording that, and Jake Trumpo as well. Thank you for making that song. We all loved it, didn't we, boys?
Yeah, Anthony Fantano gave it his first 10 out of 10 in 2018.
Yeah.
All right, beautiful. All right, see you, everyone.
Right. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Bye. Bye.